Another off-season week is down and in the books for Ohio State. And if Thursday was the recruiting appetizer, the feast is this weekend. Welcome to the Beat. That is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. Berm, we talked on Thursday, had some snap judgments. Sincere Johnson commits to the Buckeyes. If you missed it, can catch up there on 97.1 The Fan, 10 TV, 10 TV Plus, and anywhere that you can download our voices. But now the fun really begins, Berm.
Yeah, I don't know if it's fun. It's a lot of work for Ohio State. They've got 16 official visitors, by my last count, coming to town. It will be the finale of June's recruiting efforts for the Buckeyes. The entire coaching staff, as we have talked about throughout the week, will be going to parts unknown, scattering throughout the country and the world to take some much-needed and much-deserved vacation for them before they come back and get to football season. As you mentioned, Sincere Johnson made his commitment on Thursday. Luke Waifel, a major priority defensive end for Ohio State, made his decision on Thursday. And we had a chance to sit down with Sincere Johnson and discuss his commitment on Wednesday evening. So we're going to cut that into this episode of The Beat and let people get a chance to know him a little bit. I do want to preface, if I may preface. There was some nasty, formidable weather happening in northern Ohio and southeast Michigan on
Central Wednesday. Ohio getting slammed as well.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that everyone there is getting slammed as well.
And that's happened, also full disclosure and transparency.
When we're recording
Wednesday this night for freaking
because
Friday.
Austin has a golf tournament, so we're having a little difficulty figuring out the timeline of this. But regardless. The interview with Sincere was great, and I hope people are going to get a sense of who he is as a person and why he is really, really special when it comes to this Ohio State recruiting class, not just as a player, but as a person. There is going to be some creative editing and some jump cuts probably here and there, which is not our normal way, but in an attempt to facilitate the interview and make sure that we had it without scrapping it and having to start all over because Thursday obviously is a pretty busy day for Sincere with the commitment and celebration with his family. We're going to cut to that now. And when that's over, after all the creative editing is done, Austin and I will come back and we're going to deep dive into the 16 official visitors heading to Columbus this weekend. So for now, let's cut to me with Sincere Johnson, Ohio State's latest linebacker commitment. Sincere Johnson joins me now. Sincere, first and foremost, congratulations on what I imagine was a day that felt like a huge weight off your shoulders, but also a lot of years in the making, but also like a huge celebration for your family. What does it feel like to tell people you're an Ohio State Buckeye?
I feel blessed, you know, going through this whole process, you know, being from Ohio and obviously coming out of Glenville, this feeling is amazing and it's a blessing. You know, many kids, you know, dream about being in my shoes and I'm one of the kids that's been able to become a Buckeye. So, you know, it's a blessing, you know, by the man above God and I love it. Let's go.
When you finally made this decision, there's a lot of nuance here that we can talk about and a lot of details that led you to this moment. But before we dive into the particulars, the big picture, what is it about Ohio State that made you decide this is the place for me, not Penn State, not Alabama, where you have a lot of family? What is it about Ohio State that was like, hey, I can't pass this up?
You know, first and foremost, you know, every school that ever looked my way and offered me had interest, you know, I want to say I'm thankful and thank you for everything, you know, just taking the time and looking to me. But kind of the separation factor was my faith, you know, the building blocks that I believed in and the brotherhood, you know, and just everything. Like Ohio State has 80 plus years of NFL experience and the coaching staff. Ohio State is built off the foundation of God, you know, it's things like that. It's very powerful to me. And, you know, obviously being an Ohio kid in the backyard and having that pipeline for my school, the development is like no other. Like I see it with my own two eyes with Arvell Reese. Obviously, he's somebody I won a state championship with in high school. You know, he was my big brother. He was my mentor. Just seeing him develop from high school to obviously projected to get drafted this year. Bryce West, I won two state championships with him. Seeing his development and he's been projected to get drafted his junior and senior. So those are things that the proof is in the pudding. You know what I mean? And, you know, I always grew up wanting my family to come watch me at Ohio State. It was a big thing for us. And I can make that dream come true.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Maybe not funny. Maybe funny is the wrong word. I don't know. Arvell, when he was recruited out of Glenville, he was sort of under the radar. Not a lot of people knew much about him. And I don't know if it's because there were some questions about what position he'd end up playing down the road. Yeah. He was 6'4" and 200 pounds when he entered Ohio State. And now I think he's 11 feet, 3 inches tall and 410 pounds. And he runs a 3.1 or something in the 40. And like when you watch that happen and you see a kid like that you saw as a young guy in 3 years become this, like, I mean, real dude. Like I'm on the record saying I think
he's the definition of a silver bullet for sure. Yeah,
I think he's going to be the second Ohio State defense, second Ohio State player picked in next year's draft behind Caleb Downs. So like there's nobody in the country more pro Arvell Reese than me. But when you see that and you see a kid who becomes this different type of dude than you remember, is it like a breath of fresh air for you? Is it a big exhale to say, hey, these guys at Ohio State are not just selling me hope. They've done it.
Both. You know, I've never been a guy that wants the easy way out. I've never been a guy that wants to take shortcuts, you know. Just seeing everything Arvell has been through, the ups and downs, you know, he told me how hard it is. I love it. You got to embrace the work. And that's just how it is at Ohio State. It's going, like I talked to Coach Day, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. And that's what I'm signing up for. I don't want to go to a school that's going to hand me anything. And, you know, I feel like I get that Ohio State, obviously. You know, my goal is to come in, play young, anything I can play, win, freshman, All-American. But it's going to be tough. And that's why, you know, I'm early enrolled and things like that. But it's a breath. It's an inhale and an exhale because you see the level of production that they in development that they bring, but at the same time, you know what it takes, and I'm ready.
You know, you began your Ohio State recruitment at an interesting time. It was basically right at the moment that James Laurinaitis came back to Columbus for after his 1 year hiatus at Notre Dame, working with Marcus Freeman. And you know, the first year he was recruiting you, he was not the full time linebackers coach, and Jim Knowles was. Jim Knowles, obviously at Penn State, was one of those three finalists for you. So the relationship with Knowles was good. But James Laurinaitis is someone that you watched all of your heroes playing football with when you were younger, right? Like you're watching Dante Whitner play with James Laurinaitis. Like, is that crazy to you that
it's definitely crazy and it's so mind-blowing just how fast time blows by. But what a lot of people don't understand is I'm 16. So Laurinaitis has been out there for 3 years.
Yeah. This is his third year. Yep.
I was 13. So like a lot of people don't realize I had a very long relationship with Laurinaitis just when he entered there. And, you know, obviously Arvell, they was recruiting him and I was the next guy up. So it's been a long time coming. So, you know, it's mind blowing and it's shockingly just to realize how fast time blows by and just how much you can get lost. You know what I mean? Like yeah. a lot of people think they got time. You can get lost in that because time don't wait on nobody. So it all depends on what you do with it.
Back in April, I think it was, I asked you at the Under Armour camp in it was in Columbus. I asked you like, what bothered you more when people assumed you were going to Ohio State because you're a Glenville kid, or when people told you be your own man, do your own thing. You don't need to go to Ohio State. You can be your own man. You told me at the time that you found it insulting that people wouldn't expect or think that you would pick Ohio State on your own. Like they didn't have the track record to prove it. When you got a chance to break down all of these decisions, was there something that Ohio State had that the other schools just didn't? And you don't need to go into detail with the other schools, but was it just the pipeline from Glenville? Is it James Laurinaitis? Is it Ryan Day? Is it a combination? What was the thing that separated Ohio State the most?
You know, just backtracking to the question you asked me, I feel like that's very insulting just for the simple fact I put the work in for my whole life. You know, there's to me obviously Ted Ginsier and the people that came before me, which I'm so appreciated because they laid down the blueprint. But for you to obtain that blueprint, you have to put in the work. And that's just how it is. And I feel like people made it seem like the only reason why I had the opportunity to go to Ohio State was because of people before me, which is totally not true. Because before I got the Ohio State offer, Coach Laurinaitis told me he wanted to offer me my freshman going into my sophomore year. But he wanted to see me develop and put in work. And that's what I did. I busted. Like, I got up 6 a.m. I trained hard, dropped weight. Like you said, on some socials, like on some sites, they got me as 240. I'm 227, 226. Like, got my 40 down, got my high. I'm 6'3". Like, so it just goes to show the work that I put in. But everybody have their own opinion. You know, I let everybody have their own opinion. But that's my answer still remains the same, because that's just like you. You knows the time and the work you put in for something. And if somebody try to come and take that away from you, you'd be like, oh, that's disrespectful. And that's how I feel. But I'm, at the end of the day, I'm still greatly appreciative of everybody that came before me. And, you know, Ohio State, it's, I want to leave my own legacy there. You know, just that's kind of where I'm at. You know, just being from Ohio and always looking up, like the conversation you just had about Laurinaitis, you know, being able to go in there and talk to him about that. You know, it's the competition, even with me and him. Like I told him, I'm going to come and win 2 Buckley's Awards. I'm going to double everything you have won down there. So that kind of just set me apart from him. And he knows how hungry I am. Like, he had that same hunger when he was playing. And that's the type of hunger that I have. So that just goes to show, like, the type of coach he is. Like, I want to be coached by an all-great linebacker, which he's still the leading tackler for the Rams. He won the Buckus, won the best defensive player in college football. He's going to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. There's no denying that. So that's kind of the separation piece. And on top of that, Columbus is in Ohio. It's home. Life after football is like no other. You know, and I've never been a kid to chase an IL, so, you know, that's not even a conversation for me, because I'm a football player first. And then, so, you know, the football piece and the aspect of everything is undeniable.
We live in a world right now in college football recruiting where everyone knows it's a business. It's ugly at times. It is from the outside looking in, focused a lot of the time on the wrong things. When you see a coach like James Laurinaitis, a guy that played at Ohio State, raised his family in Columbus, left for a year, and he went to Notre Dame to try to determine if he wanted to be a coach, had an opportunity to come back to Columbus and immediately did it. And now you can reasonably feel safe that he's not going anywhere. He's going to be the linebackers coach or better at Ohio State for your entire career. How important is that to know that there's stability with James Laurinaitis, there's stability with Ryan Day, even Matt Patricia? I mean, I'm sure you've spoken with Coach Patricia a number of times about his plans. He doesn't seem like the type of guy who's like coming into Ohio State to be there for 1 year, from what I've been able to discern from him.
You know, that means a lot. You know, the like you said, the way college football is now, you have everybody jumping from this point to that point to this point to that point. And being able to go to a university for 3 to 4 years, possibly 5, and just knowing that the people that you come in with, they're still going to be there. You have to, like, that's a separation, because you know you're going to you have your college experience. You're going to play college football for the same people. So it means a lot.
Okay, Sincere Johnson is back. He's now on his cell phone because the storm that we are experiencing in the Midwest knocked out his Wi-Fi. So that's fun. That's the beauty of the internet. Sincere, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but we're going to have a lot of chances to catch up over these next few months and celebrate what it means for you to be in the class at Ohio State. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is the relationship between you and Ryan Day. Like, that does not and has not really received much publicity, because Ryan Day is the head coach and everyone just assumes that everyone has a great relationship with him. What has Ryan Day meant to you in this process?
Me and Ryan Day has had an amazing relationship throughout this process. You know, I know his son. You know, his son is a part of my class. And Ryan Day has been a vital point for me and my family, you know, being able to sit down with him and he come up to the school and just we just have a good time.
When you talk to a guy like that and you've seen everything that Ryan Day has gone through in the last couple of years because you've been watching it up close, and then you see the resilience that he has as a man, what he's been able to accomplish despite all of the noise around his job and all this stuff heading into the end of last season. What does it teach you about what it takes to survive at a place like Ohio State?
He just teaches me, you know, the team is definitely a reflection of your coach. And right, it shows that just how resilient the team was after losing to the team up north. And just how they bounce back, even Ryan Day, you know, with the conversations about his job and how he bounced back, So, you know, it definitely just shows, you know, the team represents the staff. And Ryan Day has been a good representation of never giving up and never stop fighting.
You've taken your official visits. You're done. It's a big official visit weekend in Columbus this weekend. I think there's 16 is the number I have right now of official visitors coming to town. Is there any chance you're getting back down there this weekend to help recruit some dudes? Or are you going to lay low and get ready for Glenville camp? What's next for you?
We actually finished up Glenville camp. Well, me and my team have a 707 this weekend. So, you know, I'm be with my boys. We're going to be rocking on, but I'm going to definitely be recruiting all over social media.
Do you feel comfortable doing that? I mean, I know you don't like when I know a lot of you guys don't like when other players recruit you, but now that you're committed and everyone knows it, do you feel comfortable going out there and telling Braylon Womack, "Hey, Braylon, stop messing around. Time to join the bunch."
To a certain extent, you know, you never want to go overboard with it, but just a simple text like, "Yo, bro, slide," or, you know, "Come join the team," like that at work. I will never be the person to try to go overboard with it because I don't like that. So yeah.
Well, look, man, I know this has been chaotic a little bit, and I think that the people watching it and listening to it are still going to be super thrilled that we were able to do this and give them a chance to get to know you a little bit. What we're going to do, you and I will find a time in the next month or so to sit down in person and do a more formal interview where we can really give folks a chance to see who you are, because it's not going to get talked about enough. And that's what I think is important in this process. Yes, you're the number four ranked linebacker in the country. You should probably be ranked higher if we're being honest, but you're the number four ranked linebacker in the country. You're all of the things on the field that make you a special player, all of them pale in comparison to why Ohio State really wants you in their program. And it's because of who you are as a person and as a student and as a son, and that stuff still matters. And it's nice to see you and your family getting an opportunity to live out this dream. So congratulations, man. That was beautiful. And if Sincere could answer right now, he would say thank you. He may actually be crying. That's why he's not answering. I think it's because he's teared up. While we try to figure out the internet situation, I just want to say thank you to Sincere Johnson for joining us. Sincere, if you can hear me, if you can respond, thank you very much for being here. We'll sit down again soon in the near future and do it in person. Congratulations, yes, man. I appreciate you.
I'm sorry.
That is absolutely not your fault. We're dealing with all of it ourselves as well. That's the beauty of the internet. So congrats. Go out and celebrate with your family, and we'll talk soon, all right?
Yes, appreciate sir, you. Thank you.
We're back. Sincere is awesome. I hope you guys got a chance to really feel that. It's weird, Austin, because we are in a world now where if Ohio State doesn't get every commitment that they want from the state of Ohio, the world is ending. And when they do get a commitment from a kid in Ohio, it's expected and it's not a big deal. But I promise, Sincere Johnson's a big deal for Ohio State.
Yeah, and sometimes I don't know. Feeling bad is not the right word for it. I sympathize with their situation a little bit because they are expected to go to Ohio State. If you are a 4 or 5-star recruit in the state and have shown, and the Buckeyes have shown any interest in you, well, that's just where you should go. And we talked about that on Snap Judgments. It should never be assumed that that's the case. And even if it does wind up being the case, that should still be celebrated. It's a lifelong dream. Whether you grew up cheering for Ohio State or not, when Ohio State, and whether you're in the Buckeye State or not, when the Buckeyes offer a scholarship to you, that's worth celebrating. If you decide that's where you want to go and the Buckeyes are going to take you, well, that deserves a celebration too. So sometimes they do get taken for granted, whether that is the media coverage, whether that is looking on, all right, well, Sincere Johnson is in the fold, who's next? And then you immediately shift to the next linebacker or the next defensive target. And, you know, that stinks a little bit. And I know that you and I have, I know that we see eye to eye on this, and we always try to put as much of a spotlight on these decisions as we possibly can. Give them the moment, give them their chance to celebrate for everybody in the class. And sometimes the coverage doesn't match every single kid that comes in, but you know, it deserves a full-blown party, because not any kid in Ohio is achieving a lifelong dream. And if that's also someone who has a chance, as you said, with a four-star pedigree next to his name to be a major impactful player for the Silver Bullets. Well, even better. Celebrate that doubly if you want to.
Yeah, this is not a commitment that people should overlook just because it was expected. It's not a commitment where you should be saying, okay, who's next? Because Sincere Johnson is a major, major win for Ohio State and a player that the Buckeyes have decided was worth putting off other linebackers around the country that they could have continued recruiting and didn't. So while I don't want people to sit here and say, okay, who's next? Move on from Sincere Johnson. Who's next? Let's move on from Sincere Johnson because Ohio State has a bunch of official visitors heading to town this weekend, starting with, as I have it on the screen here, 7 of the Buckeyes' 16 commitments. And that means 3 of the wide receivers highlighted by the modern day duo, Chris Henry Jr. and Caden Dixon Wyatt, and Brock Boyd, the other receiver in this class from South Lake Carroll. And here's the thing about those three. It's pretty darn hard to find two better high school programs to go get football players from than Mater Dei and South Lake Carroll. And the Buckeyes and Brian Hartline have the makings of a really special recruiting class at wide receiver. Simeon Caldwell, defensive back from the Bulls Academy, the Bulls School, I'm sorry, in Jacksonville. He is the nephew of Tim Walton. He's been committed to Ohio State for a few months now. He actually was in town this week on Tuesday and spent the entire week in Columbus ahead of his official visit. Blaine Bradford, the country's number one ranked safety, coming back to Ohio State from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He's got some recruiting to do himself this weekend. We'll get into that momentarily. And then 2 other defensive backs in Jacob Weatherspoon from Avon, Ohio, and Jordan Thomas from New Jersey. You look at it and you're like, does Ohio State recruit other positions? Because it's all just wide receivers and DBs all the time. And certainly you need balance, but boy, oh boy, when you keep adding players that are this good at wide receiver and defensive back, like it's not something you should complain about.
It feels like Burnham, it's a, and I don't know that it was intended this way, but it's a showcase for 2 of the elite position groups in the country that are, You can look at the current roster at Ohio State, which they'll do that. They'll have, you know, Buckeyes hosting on visits. And then you'll have these guys who are taking their visits. They're looking around like, well, this is what we signed up for. We want to be around greatness. And maybe you can tell me that they did want this to be a showcase for those 2 position groups that are 1A and 1B nationally for both recruiting success and on-field production. But like, if you're looking around and you're another group, like, well, why can't the defensive line be like that? Why can't the linebackers do that? Like, maybe that could be contagious.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I don't know why it feels like the other position groups are having such a difficult time landing commitments, because the defensive backs and wide receivers never seem to have a problem. But here we are in this class with 16 guys. You've got 4 receivers. You've got 4 defensive backs. You've got 3 offensive linemen, but you're just putting some pieces together. And Ohio State is not in a position right now where they want to have 29 or 30 commitments like USC, because they're trying to completely rebuild their roster and they're just going to dump kids as they move along. Like, Ohio State is very particular. They're very specific about who they want. And when a kid commits to Ohio State, they're not in the habit of moving on from them or trying to replace them later with someone better. Like, this is a true trusting in your evaluation situation. And these guys make it easy because you have Chris Henry, who is a number one ranked receiver in the country for 2 years in a row, and now is, I think, the number 3 or 4 receiver in the country based on some injury stuff that he dealt with last year. Blaine Bradford, the number one safety in the country. Jordan Thomas, who is the number one cornerback on the board for Ohio State, regardless of Albert Hill standing in Ohio, as he is the number one ranked corner in the country, according to Rivals.com. He's going to USC, but this is a really good group. And the thing that these 7 guys are going to do is serve as the sounding board for the rest of the guys coming to town. And that is why Ryan Day has made it a point since he took over as the head coach at Ohio State to get rid of big official visit weekends in the season and instead concentrate them all in the summer, because the families that are coming to town with the uncommitted kids are going to get a true appreciation for what the family structure and family feel is like at Ohio State, because all of these kids are coming with their families and it becomes it's like a giant picnic more than anything else.
What do you, when was that 5 years ago, we were out in Southern California, and the visit included C.J. Stroud's Rancho Cucamonga High School and then a trip over to St. John Bosco. And it's like Ohio State had inroads there, but it was like, well, out of all of the premier high school programs in the country, modern day is not where Ohio State's going to get in. They're not. It wasn't that they were unwelcome. They just weren't going to have success. How has that changed?
It's changed in one fairly significant way, in that Brian Hartline's involved. And Chris Henry Jr. is from Ohio and started his high school career here in the great state of Ohio. Caden Dixon Wyatt is a wide receiver, and he was deciding between USC and Ohio State and Oregon. And when Ohio State wants you as a wide receiver, you go to Ohio State. So I think that's the biggest thing. Now, there are a number of other players that the Buckeyes are still trying to work on at modern day, especially in the class of 2027. There's a couple defensive backs. Once they can crack that rock and it's a different position, then we can talk about it. But the last 5 years, they have tried mightily to find other players from that school and have still not been able to do it. So Brian Hartline's really freaking good at his job and super, super reliable as a recruiter and knows what he wants. And that's why it's worth noting that this weekend, another wide receiver who's not committed to Ohio State is taking an official visit. That is Jerquaden Guilford from Fort Wayne, Indiana. The question has been asked for months now because Guilford has been remaining on the official visit list for the Buckeyes. Would they take five? Why are they still bringing in another? Because Jaden Ricketts, who is not taking an official visit this weekend, but will be back on campus to help recruit as well, is also in this class. So you've got four commitments at wide receiver. Would you take five? And I'm going to tell people, Austin, you had a chance to probably see a little bit of Jerquaden Guilford on Tuesday. There's a reason why you would take five if it looks like Jerquaden Guilford. So that is what's going to be real interesting. He's, I think, Ohio State and Ole Miss, and it's going to be a two-team race there. He commits 1 week from Friday, so he's going to make his decision on June 27th. If Brian Hartline wants him, then what do we come to expect?
Yeah, Brian Hartline is not in the business of losing recruits or missing on evaluations. Now, sometimes there are complicating factors with the latter, but the former, if he... And I don't know that anybody in the building or watching Guilford workout was like, well, there's some doubt about this guy. He was dominant in those workouts. He did everything that you could in the summer. And I know that that's not the sole and only piece of an evaluation, but I think Brian Hartline certainly knows what he's looking at. And there was an unmistakable air of confidence around his decision-making when it came to pursuing him. So that's a long-winded way of saying Brian Hartline wants him. And once he sets his sights on something, he's going to go to the mats to get that done. Again, doesn't guarantee it, but generally those pieces come together pretty well.
And a reminder that the standard right now for Brian Hartline is four every year. And this might just be an exceptional year that there's a fifth like this that is within the Ohio State radius that they are feel like they have to own. Ole Miss is certainly going to continue to pound the narrative that, hey, why would you go be wide receiver number five in a class? And it's, I think, important to distinguish between being the part of a five-man class and being the fifth receiver. Like, those are two very substantially different things, because I don't believe that Ohio State or Brian Hartline views Jerquaden Guilford as a throw-in option. Like, this is a guy that they believe has a potential to be a superstar down the road. And if you see him, I saw him at the Under Armour camp at the end of April. And then at the Ohio State camp on Tuesday, like, he's a superstar monster potentially down the road.
Well, and time also marches on, Berm. So Carnell Tate, there's no chance that he's going to be back on the Ohio State roster in 2026. There's a world where Brandon Ennis is off to the NFL draft after this year as well. Who knows? He's certainly put in his time already without necessarily getting on the field, but he would have that decision to make. And even if he returns for another year, Jeremiah Smith is not going to be on this roster for more than two more seasons. And I'm not here to sound any alarms, but like, the NFL could be like trying to force him into the draft a year early too. So like, there's a world where there's a lot of turnover coming within the next 2 years where maybe that can change the calculus for them with you know, Ohio State has had the luxury of a lot of years where Emeka Ebuka came back for a senior season, where Chris Olave came back for a senior season, where you had Terry McLaurin and Paris Campbell and Johnny Dixon further back before that, KJ Hill, where guys played 4 or 5 years. I'm not sure that that's going to be the blueprint moving forward at the level that Brian Hartline is recruiting.
It's harder to see that continuing when you're dealing with players who are coming in with the accolades that these guys are. So Jerquaydon Guilford certainly is worth paying attention to, if for no other reason than the fact that he's committing next Friday. So this is a situation that will resolve itself quickly. If it ends up being a four-man class for Ohio State, Brian Hartline is fine with it, but he canceled official visits for a number of other receivers who had planned to be here in the month of June, and Guilford's did not get canceled, and that is telling, I think. And Jerquaydon Guilford's trainer is a guy named Dre Muhammad in Fort Wayne. He's the same guy that was Austin Mack's trainer years ago. And like, there's a really good relationship between Ohio State and Muhammad. And so if all things being equal, it's hard to see him not picking Ohio State a week from now, but this weekend is important. And again, Ole Miss, for all of the jokes you can make about their program, wide receiver is one position they have actually developed fairly well and produced some successful seasons with over the last few years. So I'm not going to count them out, but he's coming to Ohio State this weekend for a reason. And if he was really worried about being a part of a five-man class or any of that other stuff, I don't think he would be. So
don't you dare try and stop me from making jokes about Lane Kiffin.
You can make jokes about Lane Kiffin, but you can't make jokes about the offense at Ole Miss. They score a lot of points. They give up a lot of points too, buddy.
They sure do.
We're going to have to go back to the offense there, Austin, because the interesting thing about this weekend really to me are these five guys on offense, because there's a unique, maybe not unique, but there's at least an interesting story to each piece of this. Luke Fahey is a quarterback from California coming in. He was actually the quarterback for Ohio State 2025 signee, Philip. Wow, my brain just...
Bell?
Philip Bell. Wow, sorry, Phil. Philip Bell, he was the quarterback for Philip Bell out at Mission Viejo. So he's actually a guy that the Buckeyes have been keeping an eye on for a while. Does not have an offer. And I can't remember the last time Ohio State hosted an official visitor that did not have an offer coming into the official visit. So that is exceedingly rare. The Buckeyes are still on the hunt for a 2026 quarterback. He is the only official visitor at quarterback they're hosting this summer. It seems likely to me to assume an offer's coming. And if that occurs, then things can get very heated up quickly when it comes to that. Now, Derek Cooper, Buckeyes have Faber Aki committed at running back. Derek Cooper is a five-star, all-world, everything. Miami, I think, would actually want to take him and turn him into a defensive back. He's like that good of an athlete. He's a freaky, freaky type of a dude. He plays at Chaminade Madonna High School in Hollywood, Florida. A fairly good Ohio State wide receiver came out of that school recently. So we'll see if there's any influence there from Jeremiah Smith. But Derek Cooper, I think, is an Ohio State-Georgia battle, even though Miami is very much in the mix. And then there's two offensive linemen we very rarely talked about in pretty much any setting. That's J.B. Shabazz from North Carolina and Deron Parks, who is down in Florida but started his high school career in West Virginia. Parks is like a massive dude, like 6'5", 350 pounds, just a massive hunk of humanity. Buddy is a project, a major project, in that he is 3 to 4 years away from contributing, but he's really freaking athletic, and that's the type of player where if you can get him, and I hate to say this about college football players, but if you can get him for relatively cheap or almost free, he's got enough moldable clay there that makes you go, let's see. Shabazz,
are we gonna have to start saying getting him on a freshman deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's I think you have to.
All right. It's a new world order.
And Shabazz is interesting because the other offensive tackle that most people have had penciled into the Ohio State recruiting class is Aaron Thomas from Phoenix, Arizona. Aaron is visiting Texas A&M this weekend. Ohio State is kind of in the mindset that if Texas A&M gets aggressive with NIL, that he will end up there. Florida State is also in the mix. That's where his father played. So there's a, like, Shabazz could actually become a fairly important recruit if things go a different way. He's a really good player. Doesn't get talked about a lot. And that's it on offense. Let's move to defense. Landon Barnes, defensive end from Duncanville in Texas, is coming back. He was on campus for the Ohio State spring game. Again, not a player we talk about almost at all because he doesn't really talk about Ohio State. And in a normal position, and I say this not as an affront to Larry Johnson, in a normal position for Ohio State, like any other position on the roster, we would have a better sense of whether or not it's a serious visit or if it's, but the way Larry operates is hard to figure out. And here's something that I think maybe to pay attention to. Do you remember when Omari Abor committed to Ohio State and there was a lot of like, whoa, every other school seemed to be backing off. And Larry Johnson's like, you're our guy. We love you. Came to Ohio State, had two rough seasons, did not play because of injury, transferred, and then immediately started, or not immediately, but started talking on social media shortly thereafter about how he made a mistake and how he should have stayed at Ohio State. I wonder if the Duncanville people and Rashad Samples, the longtime coach there, like if there's a, hey, Landon, you should really consider Ohio State because it's going to be good for you, or if it's, because I don't, he's visited LSU. Texas doesn't seem, they're like tangentially involved. But I think that he's a guy that if Ohio State was like, hey, we have room for you, he might be interested.
Well, I remember distinctly our visit to Duncanville. And, you know, we didn't get to talk a ton to Omari Abor, but we did talk to a couple members of the coaching staff. And all they did was rave about Chase Young and talk about Joey Bosa and Nick Bosa and the guy who coached all of them, which was Larry Johnson. And, you know, sometimes in this world where promises are being made and not kept, promises were made but not kept
and broken,
then you do have some regret. The injuries were part of it. NIL is certainly part of any conversation. And being away from a long way from home is certainly part of it. And I think all of those things, you can understand why Omari Abor made the choice that he made. But at the same time, Larry Johnson was enamored with the athleticism, the coaching staff that worked, that he was communicating with, that was working with Omari Abor in high school. They all fully believed in what the development plan was going to look like if they could stick it out. And I know that it's challenging, and I don't blame anybody for making the choices that were made in that. But Omari Abor certainly expressed some regret that he didn't maybe have the patience or the wherewithal or whatever. I haven't talked to him since he left, so I can't say specifically what it was. But, you know, a second crack at it, I think for everybody involved, would maybe go a long way. And that's not meant as a prediction or a crystal ball, because that's not my forte, not my job in any way, shape, or form. But this is a place that you and I visited together. And actually, like, know how highly Larry Johnson is thought of there. And that I don't think that the previous recruitment and the way that it didn't work out with Omari Abor actually works against Ohio State at all.
No, it doesn't. And that's made evident by the fact that this kid is visiting this weekend. And he also visited, as I said, in the spring. He visited in the spring with his teammate, Kevin Ford, who was also at one point on the list of potential official visitors for Ohio State. He's not on it anymore, but Landon Barnes is. And I said Rashad Samples. I meant Reginald Samples for clarity's sake at Duncanville. Rashad Samples, I believe, is an assistant coach for the Oregon Ducks or maybe the Dallas Cowboys now. Either way. So Landon Barnes is a guy that, as Ohio State continues to recruit other defensive ends like Carter Meadows, who visited last weekend, and Jackson Samuels Ford, I think that he's maybe being overlooked a touch, but it's also really hard, as we've said over and over, to get a true sense of where Larry Johnson's priorities are. But it is a pretty important weekend on the defensive line because Deuce Gerald's from Georgia is coming in town. He's a Louisiana native, was at LSU last weekend, been all over the map, and then he was at Oregon. Like, his recruitment has been wild. For like 2 years, this is a kid who has basically said Ohio State is at the top of his list. Great relationships with Miguel Patrick at Ohio State, and Larry Johnson has been a part of his recruitment for a long time. I still think that there's a plane of existence where Ohio State is the favorite and Deuce Gerald has just been playing a long game to explore. But I also think that he's a three tech that maybe you don't need the way that the recruiting process is going. So that's not to say Ohio State isn't taking a real swing, but between him and Damari Simeon, who's visiting this weekend from New Jersey, between Kari Wilder, however you pronounce his name, committed to Ohio State 2 weeks ago from California, the back and forth with Jameer Perez, like the interior of the defensive line is shaping up in a way that I think the Buckeyes could be comfortable without Deuce Gerald. And I don't know that I would have said that 2 months ago.
I would only say this, Berm. Given the conversation about this group over the last 6 months specifically, and maybe even in the last 2 years as a whole, you can't have too many. Yeah. Take more swings.
Well, that's what's interesting. This is not talking stuff, so we're not going to deep dive into these conversations, but a conversation I had on Wednesday at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center where I was told that Ohio State could be content with taking two defensive ends and two defensive tackles and being done in this class on the defensive line. That was a surprise to me because I have believed fully that they need three and three. But we're seeing, and it's what you and I talked about on the Thursday morning edition of The Beat, is that this staff is treading carefully as things get sorted out. Maybe they'll get more aggressive in 4 months after they see how the landscape shifts. But right now, there is not a race to the finish line for these guys. And so the idea is let's get to 21, 22 commitments, 23 maybe, and then supplement in the portal because that's the world we live in now. So
right,
it's interesting. The final official visitor, and this is running long, but is Braylon Womack, depending on which website you look at, five-star safety from Mississippi, Ohio State, Florida, Auburn, Texas A&M. That's the top group. Braylon Womack camped at Ohio State a year ago and did so because he loved Ohio State, and he says he's always loved Ohio State, got his offer from the Buckeyes then. Is a player that a lot of people in the recruiting industry have had penciled into the Ohio State recruiting class. I have been a touch more like reluctant to do that because I've been concerned about the numbers for Ohio State, both financially and from a sheer safety standpoint, because the narrative that's out there with Simeon Caldwell and Jacob Weatherspoon is that Ohio State could have three safeties in their recruiting class right now. The Buckeyes, however, see Jacob Weatherspoon as a corner, and I see him as a Jordan Hancock type corner slash nickel player. And Simeon Caldwell, who I firmly expect to grow into a linebacker. So there's another narrative that Ohio State, I think, would like to portray, and I think it's more accurate that they only have one safety committed, and that is Blaine Bradford. So now you have Bradford coming into town this weekend. Womack coming into town this weekend. There's an opportunity for these two to sit down and talk and really break down, like, hey, are we capable of being the next Caleb Downs and Lathan Ransom duo at Ohio State? This is no longer a safety-driven defense, but when you have safeties like that, everything is better. and if...
You still want to put them behind the wheel.
Yeah, I think Ohio State has to be hoping, and hope is not a strategy, let's be clear. But they are counting on the fact that Braylon Womack loves Ohio State, that perhaps he would be willing to take a little bit less upfront that, like, say, Auburn or A&M or Florida are offering, and choose the school that he is most likely to commit to where the current head coach exists when he graduates. Because the thing about Florida, USC, all these schools that are in sheer desperation mode on the NIL front, that happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Like Lincoln Riley, I get those two confused.
Well, see, here's the thing. You can't include Lane Kiffin because he's going to be pursued for all of the jobs that you just mentioned if they fire their coach. He's not staying at Ole Miss for the long term. I promise you.
But what I'm saying is, Lincoln Riley, if USC goes out this year and finishes 7-5, probably doesn't have a job in California next year. Billy Napier at Florida, one of the schools really recruiting Braylon Womack and moving up the charts for Braylon Womack. If Billy Napier goes out and goes 5-7, which is very possible with the Florida schedule, he probably doesn't have a job. You don't know how much longer Hugh Freeze stays at Auburn because, quite frankly, there are few people in college football who have a worse reputation as a human being than Hugh Freeze, and it's very likely he'll just find a way to screw something up. Mike Elko at Texas A&M, like that one, it feels like a long-termer. To me, he's a pretty good fit there, but and they obviously have a lot of money, but it's a unique situation that Ohio State's in when it comes to guys like Braylon Womack, because the Buckeyes offer one thing that a lot of schools in the country just simply can't, and that is a stability that is like real, a security that is real, and the opportunity to say none of these people are going anywhere. Like McAreary is 33 years old. He's not going anywhere. Ryan Day signed through 2032. He's not going anywhere. Matt Patricia, for every conversation I've had with him, has been, hey, I'm here for the 4 or 5 years at least. So like there's an opportunity to sell that. And then you bring Caleb Downs into the room. You say, hey, Caleb, how's Ohio State treated you? And I bet you if you sat down the top 100 NIL earners in the nation, Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs would be right up at the top of the list. So if you're a player that is interested in Ohio State, like you're going to have that opportunity. Maybe it's not directly from the school, but that's the way it's supposed to be. So we'll see if those kids buy into that.
All right. Well,
yeah, sorry, I'm talking so much.
You're talking a lot of stuff. And for the Talking Stuff fans, good news. You got a lot of that throughout this week. There was a snap judgments that was basically Talking Stuff. There were two snap judgments that were basically just extended Talking Stuff episodes. We touched on recruiting a number of times this week. But you know what? It's the busiest stretch of recruiting on the calendar for Ohio State. It is the way that they've structured it. And you alluded to that a couple times, Berm. So I think the coverage should reflect that. And I hope that for those recruiting fans out there, it did this weekend, that they enjoyed it. We'll start to turn the page after this upcoming weekend, getting back to the current Buckeyes and gearing up as we're 6 weeks away from the start of training camp when we get back to the beat on Monday morning. So that's all coming quickly, but there will probably be a lot more recruiting news for Berm to break down. Okay, he's guaranteeing it. There will be.
I mean, there certainly will be news one way or the other. It's good or bad.
Yeah, there will be news. All right, got it. So that's coming on the beat. Judgments wherever, like that recruiting stuff is going to continue to come up. And if you have other stuff that you want us to dive into about the current roster, let us know. Berm is still digging around trying to find that email address for
you. No, it's listed on there. Thursday's episode of the beat. So if you want it, you got it, America. All right. Sincere Johnson for joining us again. My apologies for the technical difficulties, but that's what happens on the internet. As we just saw, because Austin froze just a moment ago.
What?
And he's doing it again. So it happens to everyone.
I see myself just fine. I don't know what's happening. Guess we're heading into the weekend. Whatever. Well, I guess that means that we should quit. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll see you on Monday on the beat. He's Berm. I'm Austin. See ya.